Bibles this morning, and let's open them to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. And this morning again, we're going to continue with that area or that place where our faith and our lives match, or where they come together. And so I just want you to think with me, or just to remind you. And today I'm going to talk to God's people, to children of God, to men and women of faith, and young men and young women of faith, regardless of age. And so I guess if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the bulk of the sermon is not going to be for you. I'm going to talk to you about what you need to do to make that happen, because I want you to know that God has a purpose and plan for your life. And the way that works out, or it's never going to come together until the reality of Christ, or until Christ in you becomes a reality. This is what it means to be a Christian. It's what it means to be saved. When God created you, He created you in His image, and He placed within you a God-sized hole that can only be filled by Him. And when you come to that place where you put your faith and trust in Jesus, He comes to live within your heart and life, so that as a child of God, you can say, Christ in me, me in Christ. Christ in me, me in Christ. This is what it means to be a believer. It's what it means to be a Christian. And that reality of Christ in you has impact or effect on every area of your life, in particular, the relationships, and I'm talking about the human relationships that you have. The most basic relationship you have is, or that we have, is a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage, husband and wife. We talked about that last week, and I want to just say one small word about that, because I got a little bit of feedback this week from some who said, wait a minute, I'm not married. I'm single, or I'm single again, never been married or have been married, and I'm no longer married for whatever reason. And so what about me? Does God have a purpose and plan for my life? And the answer is certainly yes. You don't have to be married to find completeness or fulfillment in the purpose and plans of God in your life. In fact, there is actually a maybe a purity, I guess, that those who are married do not possess, in which if you are single, the Lord Jesus Himself is your spouse. And so I would just encourage you in that, and I want to emphasize that, and I want to celebrate that. And I've preached a number of sermons before on singleness. The sermon last week was on marriage, and before too long, maybe I'll preach another sermon on singleness. God's purpose and plans for our life include Him primarily, and then everything else is kind of gravy. But it's Christ in me, me in Christ, that affects every area or every other part of my life, in particular my relationships. So maybe the most basic relationship that you can have is with another human being in marriage. But even beyond that, or back before that, every one of us are, when we're born into a family, and so we have parents. And today I want to talk about how our faith collides at that place, or when Christ lives within me, what does that mean? What does that look like in that relationship between between parent and child? And because we're all children at some point, and then God willing, some of us, you know, become parents. This is a basic relationship. And you know, honestly, because as a parent, I'll tell you this, that it is often a great struggle. And I know that's not any news to parents. In fact, one of the most challenging jobs that I've ever had in my life was being a dad to a little girl and a little boy. and to raise them. And I've thought about this quite often, and I want to mention it to you today. What is the role or the responsibility? What is the function of parenthood? Why does God do it this way? Why does God put us together in a family with parents and children? And in the 127th Psalm, the psalmist actually addresses this very thing. And he says this in Psalm 127, verse 3 and 4. He said, "Sons are indeed an heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward." And there's the blessing. And then he says this, "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior." Like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And what is he talking about? He's talking about children being like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. This is what it means to be a parent. When a warrior is going into battle, he's got weapons. And one of his weapons is his bow and his arrows. And at some point, the goal of having an arrow in your hand is you're going to put that arrow, you're going to load it up in your bow, and you're going to launch it. Arrows are ultimately designed to be launched, not to be held, but to be launched. And when he launches that, when that warrior launches that arrow, it's going to go places where he can't go, and it's going to do things that he can't do. But in order for it to accomplish that, a couple of things need to take place. First of all, he wants to make sure that that arrow is straight. And so he's going to work and make sure that he's got straight arrows. And then he knows that that arrow needs to be sharpened, so that when it does reach the target or the goal, it's able to do whatever it needs to do. And so he's going to make sure it's straight. He's going to make sure it's sharpened. And then finally, he wants to make sure it's pointed in the right direction. Because an arrow which is pointed in the wrong direction can never accomplish the purpose for which it is set off or which it is launched. So it needs to be straightened, needs to be sharpened, it needs to be pointed. That, beloved, is the work of a parent. As God blesses you with sons and daughters, puts them in your life. And if you're not a parent yet, you may be one day, so listen up, take notes. God puts these babies in your hands like arrows in the hands of a warrior, and he intends for you, or part of your role or responsibility, is to straighten them, sharpen them, and then point them in the right direction. Now, at some point, you're going to have to launch them. And this is where the job of parenthood gets to be a little bittersweet, although a lot of times by the time they're ready to be launched, you're ready to get them out of the quiver, you know. But sometimes not. And sometimes we have a hard time releasing that arrow, but we've got to do it. And I want you to notice something. When you release an arrow, it is very difficult after that to run behind it and try to straighten it as it goes or try to redirect it. I mean, once it's launched, I mean, it's headed that way. And so as a parent, while you have that arrow in your quiver, you need to be working to straighten, sharpen, and pointing in the right direction. This is the goal or the responsibility of a parent. And this is what a parent does, spends at least the first 18 years, and maybe longer, straightening, sharpening, and pointing. But it is a very difficult task. Now, why? Why is parenthood so challenging? And the answer is the same answer that we have so many other problems in this world. It's one simple little three-letter word, sin. The reason parenting and growing up is so difficult and why there's so much conflict is because of sin. Now, what I'm going to tell you now is going to be a shock to some. All parents are sinners. Do you know there's not any perfect parents out there? There's not any perfect men. There's not any perfect women. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, as parents, we make mistakes. And you know, I've personally experienced this, not just sin. Yes, I have experienced that. But one of the things that I've noticed about parents, and this is true of myself as well, we carry around a lot of guilt because we mess up and we don't always do it right. And sometimes we get it wrong. But you know, not only do we have problems in the family because parents are sinners, but you know what? That little boy, little girl is a sinner as well. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness, and that word foolishness is sometimes translated deceit or deception or rebellion. Rebellion is tangled up or bound up in the heart of a youth. That means it's tied up in there. Rebellion or foolishness is tied up in the heart of a youth. Now, we were all youth at one point, and now we're parents. We were sinners then, we're sinners now. And so I would say not only to the kids here that your parents don't always get it right because they're sinners, but I would also say to the parents, little Johnny or little Susie or that little angelic being that dwells within your home is also a sinner. And so because this is true, we need God's help. Now, fortunately, God has something to say about it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look today at what God has to say about it. And this message is not just for those of you who have kids in the home right now, and it's not just for those of us who are in the home as kids, and I'll talk about that here in just a second, but it's for all of us, grandparents, because some of us grandparents are helping raise kids again. And then we also, you know, have, as grandparents, we have maybe sons and daughters that might need a little bit of encouragement sometime. Or we know somebody that's struggling in this area. God has something to say about what's going on in our homes as we, as parents and as children, live together and love together and grow together and prepare for launch day. Okay? I should have entitled this sermon Preparing for Launch Day, but here we go. This is what God has to say. Look down at verse 20 in Colossians chapter 3. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, there's just a couple of very quick things that I want to point out to you, and then we'll just kind of mine the riches or the truth of these two verses. First of all, I want to point out that the Lord addresses children first here. Now, it's actually opposite from what I would expect or what I would plan. I think I would probably talk to the parents first. But for whatever reason, the Lord says, let me talk to the children first. And he gives children just one simple little command. I want you to notice that there's not a big list here. He doesn't say, hey, let me lay all this out for you. Do this, 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 and this. Don't do this, 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 and this. He doesn't lay it all out that way. Just one thing says, children, obey. And then secondly, he speaks to parents. And he says, now, parents, let me tell you what not to do. In fact, the command here is in the negative, which I think is very interesting, and I'm going to actually try to encourage us this morning by putting it in the positive. But he puts it in the negative. He says, don't exasperate your children. There's one thing you need to keep in mind, parents. Here it is. Don't exasperate your children and so that they become discouraged. Now, again, there is a simplicity to the Word of God here. And I will tell you, parents, grandparents, children, young people, whoever you are, wherever you are, if we could get these principles down, if we could understand this, what we would find is straight arrows, sharp, flying true through this world, and it would literally change our world. So two things, we're going to talk to children, and then we're going to talk to parents, and this is for all of us. First of all, two things in raising straight arrows or preparing for launch day. I just came up with that title as I was sitting here thinking about it. Preparing for launch day. I want to change that straightening arrows to preparing for launch day. Here we go. First of all, children are called to obey. Children are called to obey. Now, who is he talking to when he says children? And in our culture, the definition of a child is someone from infancy or birth to puberty. And so once you reach puberty, in our culture, you're not considered a child anymore. You're an adolescent, and you become a young adult or a young person or whatever it is. But this word, children, is a word that does not speak to age. And so there's no age age limitation here when he says children. And I put that because I know that I got some young people sitting in front of me who go, well, this isn't talking to me because I'm not a child. I'm an adult or a young adult or I'm a young person or whatever it is. But this word child does not refer to age specific. The word literally means eating at the table. And it refers to someone who is living in a home, eating at the table, under the authority of the one who is the head of that home or the head of that house. So in this sense, a child or the children that are being addressed here is anybody regardless of age. You can be 1 year old, you can be 21, you can be 31. And in this day and age, some of us aren't launching till, 35 or 40 or whatever it is. Regardless of age, if you're living in the home of your parents and they are providing for you, they're providing food and sustenance and a place to live and everything else, then this word applies to you. Now, remember, the goal here is to be launched. This is the goal of every young person. I want to be launched. This is the goal of every parent. We want to launch you. But as long, or before you get launched, as long as you live in your parents' home, according to the definition of God's word here, you are considered a child, and a child is called to obey. Now, what does that word obey mean? Now, this is very interesting. And I want to give you another verse of Scripture, and let me set it this way first, and might help us to understand this word obey. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is arrested by an old boy named Herod. Herod is going to kill him the next day. And so he's in jail. He's in prison. And that night, a angel shows up and releases Peter from prison and takes him down the street and then lets him go. And he first thinks he's seeing a vision. Then he realizes, hey, I'm out of jail. And so what he does is he goes back to the home of the church or the church house where people are there and they're praying for him. They're praying that he'll get out. And let me show you what verse 13 says. He knocks at the door. And Acts 12, 13 says, he knocked at the door in the gateway and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. I want you to look at that verse for just a second, because the word that is translated obey here, it says children obey, is used in that verse, Acts 12, 13. Now, what words there do you think would relate to the word obey? Same Greek word. It's translated obey in Colossians chapter 3. Here it's translated came to answer. Now, understand what happened. Peter knocks at the door, and Rhoda, the servant girl, heard the knock and answered. She came to the door. And that's the same word, obey. So what that word obey means is you hear the knock and you answer. So when it says children obey your parents, what it's saying is that when your parents knock, you answer the door. Or when your parents call, you answer. That's what the word literally means. Now let me point something out to you here. This word obey is a verb. And for those of you who have studied grammar, you recognize that there are different types of verbs. This verb is an action word, meaning that to obey is not something you do in your mind. It's not something you do in your spirit. You do with your body. You obey. When you answer the door, you are doing something. You're doing action. And by the way, this is a present tense verb. So it's not just an action verb, but it's present tense. And present tense means it's continuing action, meaning you continue to obey. So basically it could be translated, children continually obey your parents. And remember, what is a child? Anybody who lives in the home of a mother or father or both, and they're providing for you. So you're still at home, whether you're 5 years old, whether you're 35 years old, the command is children obey your parents continually, meaning that you can't say, our mom comes in and says, clean your room. Anybody here ever been told to clean your room? I have. We did. In fact, in our home, that seemed to be a big fight continually. Clean your room. You can't say, I cleaned it last week. Or last month when you told me to clean it, I cleaned it. So I don't have to do it now because I obeyed then. No, it's continuing action. You obey then, praise God, you obey now. And so children, obey your parents. This is action. This is continual action. And it is something you do, and it is something you decide every day. Every day, I've got to wake up and decide, am I going to obey, or am I not? Now, there is a qualification for this. Look back down at verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents, and here's the qualification, in everything. Now, what does everything mean? I've said this before. We've asked this question before. Thank you, brother. Everything means everything. It doesn't mean if you feel like it. It doesn't mean if you agree with it. It doesn't mean if you want to, or if it brings you joy or happiness. It means you obey in everything. Now, I would just qualify this in one way, because in the book of Acts, Peter is commanded by the religious leaders to do something that is against the word of God, and he says this, we've got to obey God rather than man. And remember what I said earlier about mom and dad being human beings and they are sinners? It might very well be that sometime a parent asks you or tells you to do something that violates the word of God. If your parent tells you to violate the word of God, you have the freedom to say no. So obey your parents in everything unless it obeys the word of God or disobeys the word of God. And that is the principle. You obey God rather than obey man. But in everything else, children, obey your parents in everything. And then he says, why? Now you might say, well, wait a minute, why should I obey my parents in this way in everything? Well, he tells us, look again at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything. For this pleases the Lord. Now, I want you to notice what has happened here at this point. What the Apostle Paul has done for us is he has taken what happens in the home between a parent and a child. A child obeying his parents or her parents, and he's moved it into the spiritual realm or part of my relationship with God. When I obey my parents, it pleases the Lord. Now, do you know what it takes to please God? I mean, honestly, you know what it takes? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God apart from faith. Well, here he says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. When you obey your parents in everything, you're actually acting by faith, and God is pleased. Notice how now obedient to parents becomes an aspect of my relationship with God or part of my relationship with God. Obeying my parents becomes an activity of faith, and in that, God is blessed and God is pleased. Now, at this point, let me just say a word to parents. Parents, you need to understand this as well. And one of the things that you need to do is you need to be making the connection with your children to obedience and them pleasing the Lord. When your child obeys you, they're pleasing the Lord. And so if you think about it, this really changes kind of the motivation, because what happens with us parents? You know, mom will come in and say, clean your room. And somebody will say, why? Anybody ever been asked a question, why? You told your kid to do something, said, why? You ever said, why? And so what do we say as parents? Because I said so, that's why. And I'm the parent here, I'm paying the bills and all that. Well, that may very well be legitimate. But what if you said, because it pleases the Lord? Because when you obey your parents in everything, God is pleased. Now, have you seen what you've done? You've connected obedience with their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is why, remember I said earlier, I'm talking to godly parents and I'm talking to godly kids. If you don't know Jesus, you don't care anything about him, just forget this. You do whatever you want to and just see how it works out for you. But God says, if you're going to be my child, you're going to belong to me, everything you do, ultimately relates back to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases God. It's an activity of faith. Parents, connect your children to their faith. And what you're going to do is you're going to watch them grow in faith. Because I tell you, what happens is kids need to, they need to be connected to their faith. They need to see you understanding that thing as well. So make obedience a spiritual matter. It pleases God. Now, let me just pause at this point and just remind us all that God gives these commands for our good. God doesn't say, children, obey your parents. This is anybody living in the home of their parents. You're under their authority. Obey them in everything, for this pleases the Lord. He doesn't say this because he wants to stifle you or crush you or keep you from being free or not having fun or not experiencing life or anything else like this. God loves you. And he has a purpose and plan for your life, and he is working for your good, not your detriment. And he gives these commands like this. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Not to put you down, but to lift you up. And when we learn these lessons of the Lord, and we learn them at home, they're going to serve us well as we get out in life. In fact, let me just point out to you that there is a prison right down the road here, and it is filled with young men who somehow, some way, learned along the way, I don't have to obey anybody. I can do whatever I want to do. I can live the way I want to. It's my life. I'm not going to let parents or anybody else tell me what to do. And at some point, they learned that that don't work because now they're doing time. And that's just one example, one illustration. God wants to bless you, and he will bless you if you will take his word seriously and connect it with your faith. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. All right? So there's parents, or there's children. Now, parents. Children are called to obey. Parents are called to encourage. And I put it in a positive way. The Apostle Paul puts it in a negative way. And I put it this way because I want to encourage you. So look at what he says here. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. Now, who are the fathers he's talking about here? Well, he's talking about dad in the home. Why doesn't he say fathers and mothers? And that's because the primary responsibility in the home is given to the father. But this also relates to moms as well. So moms and dads, fathers and mothers, because both of us have responsibility in the home for our children. So when it says fathers, moms, don't tune us out here. This is all, we're all bound up in this together. So he says, fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Now that word exasperate means to stir up. It means to provoke. It means to irritate. It doesn't mean that you don't make them mad, okay? So he's not saying fathers don't make your kids mad, because honestly, your existence, your very existence sometimes is going to make your kid mad. All right. Just the fact that you live on this earth is going to make them mad. So you're not going to keep from making them mad. All right. So that's not what he's talking about here. He's not saying don't just make them mad. What he's saying here is to exercise your responsibility or your role as a parent, as a father or a mother, in a way that encourages. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but let me just say it that way, in a way that encourages. So he says, and to help us to understand what he means when he says, don't exasperate your children, he says, look at the last part, so they won't become discouraged. And that word discouraged means to lose heart. It means to lose hope. It means to give up. It means to become frustrated. Now, this is a very fine line in parenting, because what we want is we want a child to obey, but we don't want a child discouraged. We don't want a child to give up hope. We don't want a child to come to that place that says, well, I can't do anything right, and no matter what I do, they don't love me, they don't care about me, they don't whatever. So I become discouraged. I want my child to be obedient, but not discouraged. This is what the Lord says. So what does that look like practically? How does that work out practically? Well, Let me just say, first of all, I'm not a parenting expert. I did not get this right. I don't know that I was a great parent. I know I wasn't a great parent. I'm not sure I was a good parent. Fortunately, neither one of my kids here today to answer that. But this is something I struggled with. But if I were just to give you a couple of things just to keep in mind in being a parent or a grandparent, that, and this really doesn't apply to grandparents, because what I'm about to say, I don't even believe for grandparents because I do it different, but to be the kind of parent that God would have you to be, that encourages obedience but doesn't discourage, a couple of things. First of all, I would just remind you that you are a parent, not a best friend. Now, that doesn't mean that as a parent, you can't be your child's friend. As a grandparent, I want to be my grandkid's best friend. So I have a hard time saying no. Fortunately, we've got a BB in the house, and she's able to say no because G-Dad can't say no. Even though he knows he ought to say no sometime, but he just can't say no. A parent is a parent. A parent is not a best friend. Now, you can be your child's friend, but at some time, you've got to act like a parent. What does a parent do? A parent lays out boundaries. In the same way that God put out boundaries, you see him doing this in the Garden of Eden. He's got Adam and Eve in the garden. He lays out boundaries. This is where you live. This is where you can do this. You don't go over here. Here's the boundary. Now, of course, they crossed over that boundary. But this is what a parent does. A parent lays out boundaries. Beloved, everybody needs to know where the boundaries are. We all need boundaries. Let me tell you something. Children, young people, all want boundaries. Now, as a child grows up, those boundaries are going to move. They're going to widen out because you're going to give them more responsibility. And when they're very little, you got to hold their hand when they cross the street. As they grow up, the boundary changes just a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that we practiced in our home was trust but verify. When the children came to the place where they were going and doing things that where we weren't necessarily there, we worked on that Ronald Reagan principle, trust but verify. I trust you. I'm going to try. Every parent wants to believe their child. Every parent wants to trust their child. But I'm going to check up on you. Not because I don't trust you, but because I'm your parent. This is what a parent does. A parent trusts, but verify. And trust is a very difficult thing to gain. It's a very easy thing to lose. So you act in an untrustworthy manner. And remember, folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And that's why we trust, but verify. And so what happens is I set the boundaries, and I check up on you. I make sure that you're walking in those boundaries. If you step outside of boundaries, there's something called discipline. And so now the parent is responsible for discipline. And this is where, as a grandparent, I have a real hard time with this. I don't know that I'm ever going to say no or I'm going to discipline that grandchild. Now, maybe if I was with them 24/7 like a parent, maybe I would change in that. But, you know, I'm the yes grandpa. But parents have to discipline. If you step outside the boundary, it's not funny. It's not a joke. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to straighten this arrow. And if I grow up learning that I can step outside the boundary with no consequences, what's going to happen? I'm going to keep going and keep going until I fall off the edge and I'm going to end up at the Clemens Unit or someplace else. And so a parent has to discipline. And discipline should be timely, meaning it needs to happen when I step across the boundary. It needs to be appropriate, meaning you don't get the death penalty for taking a cookie. So it needs to be timely, it needs to be appropriate, and it needs to be done in love. So no matter what, I'm not disciplining you. And, you know, I know this doesn't sound right. I'd say it to my kids. I remember my dad telling me this. I'm spanking you. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And I was kind of like, well, don't hurt me that much then. If you really love me, it's cool. But no, I'm doing this because I love you. And I understand that now because discipline is actually an encouraging thing. It helps me to know where I belong and where the boundaries are. A child becomes discouraged. And remember, he says, don't discourage them. Don't exasperate them by discouraging them. Children are discouraged when the boundaries are arbitrary, when they don't know where the boundaries are, when they keep changing. And if I cross this boundary and nothing happens, or I get close to it and I get hammered, you know? I mean, it can happen both ways. And so we've got to know where the boundaries are. And if they're arbitrary, it's discouraging. If the punishment doesn't fit the crime, it's discouraging. If I'm brought to the place as a child where I believe that no matter what I do, I'm not going to get it right. It's going to be wrong. You're going to be upset. You're going to be, so if you're always upset or mad at me and you're not telling me what I'm doing or why you're upset or how I can get it right, that leads to hopelessness, which is discouragement. And so that's about all I got to say to parents. How do I... And I really wish the Apostle Paul had kind of fleshed this out a little bit more. He says, so fathers, don't exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. What does that mean? Well, that means that as a parent, you parent and you set boundaries and you enforce those boundaries and then you pray. And you just try to do the best you can. Now, what happens as a parent if I mess up? What happens if I get it wrong? What happens if I blow it? What happens if I... miss the boundary, or I get you before you get to the boundary, or I, you know, scream and holler and say things that I shouldn't say. What happens as a parent if I mess up? Well, then what I do is I admit, repent, confess, and ask forgiveness. I wonder how many kids here today have had a parent come to them and say, honey, son, I blew it. I'm sorry, I ask you to forgive me. This is what I did, this is what I said, and this is what I did. I messed up. Will you forgive me? Can you imagine what that would do or what that does in the heart and the life of a child? Because you know what you're teaching a child when you do something like that? You're teaching them about sin. You're teaching them that we're all sinners. You're teaching them about repentance. You're teaching them about forgiveness. You're teaching them about love. I mean, all the things that we need to know to come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. See how that works out in the home that way? So what do I do if I mess up? I admit it. I confess it. I repent. And I ask for forgiveness. Even that little five-year-old that might not even understand all those things, I'm going to say, will you forgive me? And what does that do? That encourages a child in their relationship with me and in their relationship with God. You see how this works out? Now, let me bring all this back to the place, because remember where we started was Christ in me, me in Christ, is the reality for every child of God, and that reality has impact in every area of my life, including the most significant relationships in my life, and one of those is with my children or with my parent. Now, again, I'm talking to God's people here. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, being a good parent, being a godly parent, being the kind of parent that is straightening arrows and sharpening those arrows and pointing them in the right direction, all of this is what I'm trying to do, is impossible without Christ's help. And so Christ in me actually makes me a better parent, and it helps me. Because now I can go to him. Listen, I tell you what, the prayer of a godly parent for himself, but for his children, is some of the most powerful praying. The prayer of grandparents, and you've got skins in this game, right? The prayer of grandparents is powerful and effective. I didn't read that in the scripture, but I believe it's biblical, right? Because God has put us together in family. The prayer of God's people. And one of the ways that I pray for you personally in the home is for parents and for children as we're growing up. We're looking for straight arrows, sharp, pointed in the right direction. And without Jesus, Without the power of God, it is an absolute impossible job. But when it comes to growing up, when it comes to children, it's exactly true as well. You cannot be what God created you to be or intended you to be. You can't be obedient in the home completely without Jesus. And what is happening to you kids in your home right now is part and parcel of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely. God put you in that home. He gave you parents. He gave you grandparents for this reason: to straighten you, to sharpen you, to point you in the right direction. One of these days, they're going to release you. All of this process is impossible without Jesus. And so the question that I would just ask today to parents, to grandparents, is how does your parenting or grandparenting or your relationship with your children, how does it reflect your relationship with God? Remember, all of this comes back to Christ in me in Christ. I would ask the young people here, I would ask the children here, those of you still living at home, how does your obedience or how does your actions in the home in terms of your relationship with your parents, how does it reflect your relationship with Jesus Christ? It is Christ in me, me in Christ. And again, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus, then really, you don't need to worry about obeying. You don't need to worry about any of these other things. What you need is Jesus in your life, because He loves you and He died for you. And until you get this right, nothing else is ever going to work out. Nothing else is ever going to be in place. And what I'd ask you to do this morning is to confess your sin to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you and to come into your life. And when you do that, now Christ in me, me in Christ, when Christ comes to dwell within your heart and life, now He can work in those relationships, the most basic one being right there in the home between parent and child. Praise God, God help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now that you would just show yourself mighty and real. And Lord, that for each one of us, we might, Lord, be found in you. I know we can't be the children or the young persons or the youth that you created us to be and intended for us to be apart from you in us. And Lord, we certainly can't parent and be the kind of parent that is able to straighten arrows and sharpen and point, Lord, apart from you. So Lord, my prayer today is that you would have your way in each and every life. And God, I would ask that as our hearts and minds are open to you, you would take over, Lord, and that you would work. Father, that you would find in us as children obedience and as parents encouraging. Lord, straighteners and sharpeners and pointers. And God, that in all this you'd be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.